Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The opening line of Daniel chapter 12 says, "At that time, Michael, the archangel who stands guard over your nation, will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued." This is the prophet Daniel warning us of extraordinary end-time events that will affect the entire world like never before. But it's not all doom and gloom, because he also provides wonderful hope for those who are in Christ. Now, in order to understand Daniel 12, you need to go back a couple of chapters to Daniel 10. In Daniel 10, we're told that Daniel was praying and fasting for 3 weeks so that God would speak to him. An angel of God appears to Daniel and says, "Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." Take note of this. An angelic messenger from God was on his way to give Daniel the answer to his prayers when an evil spirit prince from the kingdom of Persia blocked him. And this spirit prince was so powerful that Michael, one of the archangels of God, had to intervene. Now, in Daniel 10, verse 20, the angelic messenger is still speaking to Daniel and says, "And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come." So here the Bible mentions two territorial spirits, two principal evil entities that control a particular region. But here's what's amazing. In verse 21, this angel says to Daniel, "But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." The title prince is important because it indicates there is a hierarchy. There are angels, seraphims, cherubims, and then archangels like Michael. And on the opposite scale, there are evil spirits and demons, and then there are principal evil spirits like the prince of Persia, as highlighted earlier. This is important because of that opening verse in Daniel chapter 12. "Michael, the archangel who stands guard over your nation, will arise." We're told that even though the earth will see tremendous anguish, God's people will be delivered. Keep this in mind as we dive in further. In Daniel 12, we're told that a time of trouble is coming such as never was since there was a nation. Let's put this into context. Look at all of the different periods in history. A time is coming that's worse than the antediluvian period, which was between the fall of man and the great Genesis flood. A time is coming that's worse than when the Roman Empire ruled and there was widespread Christian persecution. A time is coming that's worse than World War I and II. And the thing about Bible prophecy is, the Word of God lines up with the Word of God. You can have people or prophets living in different eras and in different generations, and when God gives them a word, it lines up. Scripture interprets Scripture. For example, Daniel was not the only one who prophesied of terrible times to come. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Ask and see, can a man bear children? Then why do I see every strong man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor? Every face turned deathly pale. How awful that day will be. No other will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it." This was in Jeremiah 30, verse 6 to 7. Then in the New Testament, our Lord himself said in Matthew 24, verse 21 to 22, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." And so, you see, what Daniel said about a time of trouble coming, this prophecy is confirmed repeatedly in the Bible. But having said all of this, You should not be filled with fear because, remember, the Bible promises us deliverance as children of God because it says at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Now, Daniel 12 verse 2 says, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. For those who have died, they will wake up to eternal life in heaven with God or eternal hell. Once again, the Bible lets us know that everyone is really in only one of two camps. They are either followers of Christ or followers of the devil. Your name will either be in the book of life or it won't. You're either walking on the broad road or the narrow road. And as Daniel 12 verse 2 points out, those who have been buried will wake up to either everlasting life or everlasting disgrace. This is the picture painted in the Bible. From this, we can understand that there is a resurrection that will occur when the Lord Jesus comes for His church. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians says, "The dead in Christ rise first." What we aren't sure of is whether this is the same resurrection as that in Daniel 12, or does Daniel 12 refer to another resurrection which will occur at the end of the tribulation? Many Christian commentators debate on this. However, we do know that God will resurrect those who belong to Him, and they will rise to everlasting life. Now, in Daniel 12, verse 7, the Bible tells us that the man dressed in linen, who was standing above the river, raised both his hands toward heaven and took a solemn oath by the one who lives forever, saying, "It will go on for a time, times, and half a time. When the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end, all these things will have happened." The reference to time, times, and a half is widely understood as representing 3.5 years. This phrase is also used in Revelation 12, verse 14. This has led to some biblical scholars interpreting this to mean that Daniel is talking about the Great Tribulation period. Now, in Daniel 12, verse 8, Daniel asks a question that all of us think about. How will all this finally end, my Lord? We all know that in the time leading up to the return of Christ, there will be signs, strange signs in some cases, but clear signs nonetheless. We're told that some of these signs are that lawlessness will abound. There will be famines and great earthquakes. There will be religious deception as false prophets will arise to deceive many. And there will be wars and pestilences. But Daniel asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? Here is what is said in verse 9 and 10. But he said, "Go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means." Do you see how this theme of separation between light and darkness continues? So far in this chapter, we know that there will be those in the book of life and those not in it. There will be those who rise to everlasting life and others to everlasting disgrace. So we can see there is a clear line drawn, good versus evil, righteous versus unrighteous. This separation between God's people and those who do evil is highlighted over and over again. And we get to verse 10 in Daniel 12 and we're told, some people will be purified and cleansed, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness. There is a group of people who will be wicked and evil in the last days, and even throughout the tribulation period and when the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth, they will continue in their wickedness. In the last days, there will be people who are wicked in thought, people who are wicked in actions, and wicked in their hearts. This lines up with what 2 Timothy says about how there will be a shift in society and in the hearts of many people. Timothy said, "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." And this isn't even the entire list, but you can certainly see that wickedness will grow. The final verses of Daniel chapter 12 say, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. What is the abomination of desolation? Well, Jesus Christ spoke of this sign of the end of this age and his imminent return, saying, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place." An abomination is something that is abhorrent and detestable to God and his people. And biblically speaking, desolation involves destroying and desecrating and leaving something in such a horrible condition that an onlooker is left speechless. Now, Daniel's prophecy about the abomination of desolation was thought to have been fulfilled in early history at one point. King Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who ruled Palestine from 175 to 64 BC, Antiochus treated Israel horribly. He treated them so badly that Israel rebelled against him. And when he arrived to suppress the rebellion, his forces went into the temple in Jerusalem, set up an altar for Zeus, and offered pigs as a sacrifice. This act was widely considered to be abominable because it defied the most sacred inner part of the temple, the Holy of Holies. What King Antiochus did was idolatry. However, years later, after King Antiochus, Jesus was warning his disciples of future events that will mark the end of the age, and here, in Matthew chapter 24, he mentions the abomination of desolation as a future event because he then warns people, saying, "Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who was on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who was in the field not go back to get his clothes." Overall, when you read Bible prophecy like that in the book of Daniel, the events to come should not scare you as a child of God. Remember that all whose name is written in the book will be rescued. All who are in Christ have hope. Luke 21 verse 28 says, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near."
I recently heard one pastor say the following statement: "I'm very concerned with the amount of false teaching and false prophets that have found their way onto the internet. Vulnerable Christians are listening to them as if everything they say is from the mouth of God. Everything must be brought into agreement with what the Bible says." End quote. Now, Bible prophecy warned us that prior to the rapture, there will be a great falling away from faith. And if possible, the very elect would be deceived. Now, a crucial aspect of our journey as believers is not only to understand deception, but to unmask deception in these last days. Because it's no secret that we have to navigate a world filled with conflicting messages, and we're given enticing falsehoods. But this is why the Bible is important. It equips us with wisdom to discern truth from deception. I want to give you four illustrations of how deception is working in this world and why it's accepted by so many. The first illustration is what I'd like to call the chameleon's disguise. Imagine a chameleon expertly blending into its surroundings, adapting its appearance to conceal its true identity. This is similar to a person who looks like a Christian. They talk like a Christian and can even go as far as acting like a Christian when you see them. However, their heart, their intentions are far from Jesus Christ. This is how deception in the last days often presents itself, in ways that mimic truth. Deception today makes things challenging for a person to distinguish between truth and lie. Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, verse 24, saying, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Just as the chameleon's disguise requires careful observation, it requires you to pay close attention. We too must be vigilant and discerning, seeking the unchanging truth found in God's Word. The second illustration is the mirage of shiny illusions. Think of a traveler crossing a desert, parched and weary. In the distance, a shimmering oasis appears, promising relief. However, as the traveler draws closer, the mirage dissolves, leaving disappointment. in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 to 4, the Apostle Paul warns, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." The allure of false teachings can be as deceptive as a mirage, leaving us spiritually thirsty. True refreshment comes from the living water of Christ's teachings. The third illustration is the puzzle of half-truths. Picture a puzzle missing a few pieces. From a distance, it seems complete, but closer inspection reveals the gaps. It reveals that things are fragmented and incomplete. Deception often involves partial truths, carefully interwoven to create a convincing narrative. Jesus emphasized the importance of discernment in Luke 21, verse 8, when he said, "Watch out that you are..."
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
"Not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them." Just as a puzzle requires all its pieces to form a coherent picture, we must rely on the complete counsel of God's word to guard against deception. Now, my final illustration is not so much geared at understanding deception, but rather unmasking deception. And I would like to call this the guiding North Star. Consider sailors navigating vast oceans under the guidance of the North Star. When you look at the history of navigation at sea, before GPS and modern technology, one of the simplest methods for determining a ship's direction was to watch the movement of the sun across the sky. Sailors used the position of the sun as it moved from east to west to guide their route. At noon, they could determine north and south by the shadows the sun cast. Sailors had to literally look up to be able to figure out where they were heading. In the same way, God's word serves as our unchanging, reliable guide through the tumultuous seas of deception. Psalm 119:105 assures us, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." As the North Star remains fixed amidst shifting skies, the truth of God's word stands unwavering, offering clarity and direction in a world filled with confusion. The last days present unique challenges to all of us believers, but we need not be overcome by deception. In fact, we should be like skilled detectives. Have you ever seen the level of forensic detail that detectives go to in order to uncover the truth? They will exhaust every possible avenue seeking the truth. We too can do the same as believers. We can uncover the truth. We can unmask falsehoods by being attentive, testing every spirit against the Word of God, by knowing the Word of God and seeking direction from above through prayer. As we journey forward, let us remember the chameleon's disguise, the mirage of shiny illusions, the puzzle of half-truths, and the guiding North Star. Let our discernment be fueled by faith, rooted in God's word, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 6, verse 14, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Let us gird ourselves with God's truth, shielded from the deception that seeks to derail our faith." I pray that all of us would become vigilant believers, unmasking deception with discernment and the truth that is in the Word of God.
Since the beginning of time, God has been drawing us toward Himself. Even when we stubbornly ignore Him, He doesn't walk away. He never gives up on us. In the book of Matthew, Jesus compares His second coming to a great wedding feast, a joyful celebration of the perfect union between Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church. And so we are invited to the greatest dinner banquet of all time. Have you responded to that invitation? Or are you putting it off until the last minute? Maybe you've become deafened to the sound of Him knocking. Maybe your attention has been captured by other things like work and finances and romantic love. Those things seem important until you realize that they are only temporary. And when your life is over, or Jesus returns, they will no longer be of any value. We all think we have more time to get right with God. But the truth is that life is short. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Everything we do today matters on an eternal level. If Jesus came back today, would you be ready? Would you be able to say that your heart was firmly set on Christ? Now is the time to place your faith in Jesus. And so today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Instead, allow Him to come in and change your life forever.
In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The Bible is calling us to strip off every unnecessary weight in our lives. Do away with the sin which tries to ensnare you and keep you bound. People of God, Jesus Christ is all that matters. And with the time that you have, live with wisdom and make use of today and serve the Lord while you still can. Our days are numbered, and we must live for God. So in everything you do, put God first. In the midst of everything you go through, trust God first.
The Amplified Version of Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us." I would like to take a moment to discuss this verse. In the theater of your mind, I want you to imagine this great cloud of witnesses. The Bible doesn't reveal their identities, but for the sake of this illustration, let us imagine that this cloud of witnesses have one assignment in heaven. And that assignment is to document everything you do so that on Judgment Day, they will stand as witnesses. Now, I want you to think, what will that cloud of witnesses say about me? What will they say I did? Will they say that there was no doubt? No doubt at all that God was the center of my life? Will they say that you lived a life that glorifies Jesus Christ? Will this great cloud of witnesses say that they heard you wake up every day with praise on your lips? Will they say that your prayer life was strong? Will they bear witness of your character and say that you were a genuine man or woman of God? Will they say you loved your neighbor? Will they use the words self-controlled, humble, prayerful, and forgiving to describe you? What will that cloud of witnesses say about you? For some, this cloud of witnesses will say they never saw you pray unless you wanted something. They never saw you open God's word and meditate on it. What if they said you never had a heart filled with gratitude? You always wanted more. You always sought more and were never grateful for the things that God had blessed you with. People of God, I want you to just for a moment think. What will this great cloud of witnesses say about you? Are your eyes filled with greed and envy for worldly things? Is your heart filled with jealousy and pride? Will this cloud of witnesses say that they saw you putting other people down, or that they heard you discourage others? What will that cloud of witnesses say about you? What will they say about your walk with Christ, the state of your heart, or what you do in private? We need to have the presence of mind to know that what we do matters. Our daily decisions matter. So I pray that you live a guarded life. I pray that you guard your mind against negative seeds of thought. I pray that you guard your heart against envy, jealousy, and greed. I pray that you guard your eyes and ears against anything unholy. I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to fight the good fight. And above all, I pray that God's grace is upon your life. Chase God. And chase him every day.
In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Lord addresses his church and says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." And I would also like to highlight the fact that Psalm 95, verse 8 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Let us open our hearts to his voice. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, the Bible says. The voice which you hear when you pray, when you read his word, or when you're convicted by the Holy Spirit. Let us not harden our hearts. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to listen and respond to the knock of Christ. Let's open the door and let him in, so that he may dwell with us and in us. Once we've done this, he will write our names in his book of life. Now, part of the struggle in hearing God's voice for many Christians is due to them focusing on the wrong things. And that's part of the deception of the devil. He wants you to feel as though everything else apart from God deserves your undivided attention. The devil wants you to meet the demands of the world, but not what God demands of a Christian man or woman. So let's not be deceived by the prince of this world. Don't be deceived by the evil one who wants us to focus on the pleasures and temporary happiness that this world offers us. The enemy wants us to be laid back about the coming of Christ. Luke 12, verse 19 to 20 reads, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, that night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" These pleasures are delights. Although good and enjoyable, we will not satisfy our souls and will not bring us true joy and happiness. But if we live our lives for God, in obedience to his word and commandments, then we will be rewarded with eternal life and joy. This is our life's calling. Although we are in this world, we are not of this world, and therefore should be living for God according to his standards and his will. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in Romans 12, verse 2, when he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And again, we're reminded in Romans 14, verse 8, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." So what does living for the Lord look like? It means to have him as the center of our lives, to seek His word before our own selfish desires, to listen to His voice among all the other voices we hear, and to make it our life's mission to serve Him in all that we do. All of this is easier said than done. It is much easier for us to choose to do the wrong thing instead of the right thing. It is easier to choose the broad road over the narrow one. It's easier to choose the world over God because the world and the flesh go hand in hand. Choosing God means that you have to deny yourself. You have to choose His will over your own. Living for God is not an easy task. That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." The narrow gate may be tiresome and difficult to enter into, but believe me, it's worthwhile. Christ is knocking on the door of our hearts. He wants us to choose eternal life and not damnation. But here's the thing. The Lord is so gentle and kind that He doesn't force Himself in. Instead, He waits for us to respond to His knock. The knock on our hearts. The knock that calls us to repent. So I encourage you to live for the Lord. Live a life that is mindful of eternity. Be mindful of collecting treasures in heaven, treasures that will not perish. Be mindful that your thoughts, your deeds, your actions, they all matter. It's only when we live a life dedicated and committed to Jesus Christ that we can hope one day to have everlasting life in His presence. So let's make the right choices while we're here on earth, because what we do here affects our eternity.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in-app only.